Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Good morning. Scott here, Sharing the Burden, and have Peter on, and of course our wonderful production man, Mr. Jay Rumble. Mr. Jay Rumble, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing very good. How are you?
I'm well. And Peter, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Yeah, thanks for coming in at the last moment. I know that was a little bit of a surprise, but it's not so much of a surprise when it's me, is it?
That's... I like coming here.
It's good. Really good to have you. I was just saying, folks, that you know, you can come in, you can do a monologue, but when there's nobody to back you up on different points and things, it's very different, and I find it's very comforting to have Peter along. So again, thank you, Peter. We're going to talk about a lot of different things this morning, and I announced it on Facebook, actually, for anybody who happens to look at that. As a matter of fact, I know Peter was, because I saw that he was... online there with me listening and not saying anything, and that's probably a good thing, because I'd have forgotten what I was supposed to be doing. Anyway, thanks for that, Peter. Thanks for always listening to the show, and that, you know, folks, by the way, listening to our show is a great thing. I want you to know we do create a podcast of the broadcast every show, and by the weekend that's available, and we put it out on FaceTime, we put it out on a distribution list, and in most of the social media platforms at one point or another. What I'm asking people to do is, if they hear anything that they think is of value to not only themselves, but maybe somebody else, maybe somebody who's on their list of friends possibly, but if there's anything of value, just share it, you know. I mean, I don't think we do anything offensive on this program, so just share it, and then, you know, if somebody does need it, or they think of somebody who needs it, you know how it goes, and they share it, and they share it, and so on. So in order to get a wide range of listeners on a program today, especially a community radio station, we need to share it that way. Otherwise, it just it can't go very far, you know. I mean, people in Stouffville, sure, they can listen, but... you know, when you're driving through Stouffville, you're probably out of it before the ad's finished, you know what I mean? So it's nice to be able to just go online and listen. You can listen online anytime. So, Peter, when we talk about sharing the burden, and I want to talk a little bit today about, you know, why and where and who and what it does and so on. The jail portion that you're very involved with now, I believe you did a meeting last night.
Oh, well, Scott, I'm very excited. Last night, yeah, I went into Maplehurst to the men's...
Oh, cool, that's good. How was it?
Oh, it was great. It was really good.
Yeah.
My first time in there, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, was there like a good group, or...?
We just had four men.
Four, that's good. That's a great way to start, you know, and that... It's interesting, because we were in another institution, and we had two groups go in there, and I think you had two go in yours also.
Yes, we do.
And we had this very different setup in there, and you don't know that, but there's, Peter that is, but there's four seats bolted to the floor, and basically if there's any more than four people, it's uncomfortable, it doesn't work. There's two tables like that, but they're far enough apart so that the noise within the institution, you really can hardly hear each other. So you're limited to, four people sitting down, possibly one or two extras sitting on a box or standing up. But anything more than all those seats are full is uncomfortable. Whereas in that institution you were talking about, we can have up to 10 men at any time in one of the little rooms. And, you know, it's got a lot more flexibility. So you were talking to some guys, and you were, I don't know if you even recognize what area you were in or whatever, but what was the theme? What were you talking about? Was it the step? Do you remember? I mean, I know it's your first time in, but I know you've got a what do you call those memories? Photographic memories. So
yeah, but I ran out of film when I was six. No, we were just, we did the program, you know.
Just as usual. We have a format, by the way, yeah. Folks, that takes anyone through
and,
it.
And everybody shared. We talked to... It was just really good. I've been going into the women's for a couple of years, but, you know, I can relate to the men more.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's just cool. They're just real people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And there, but for the grace of God, go I. Yeah. Done things that could have been there, yep. You know.
Yeah, if only everybody took the tack that you know, but for that grace, I could be wearing the orange and you could be wearing the blue and so on, and that's a fact, you know. And I think when someone, I know for myself, a certain time in my life when I got to the point to know that I wasn't really in control of an awful lot, you know, when it came to the end of things, and that. You know, I better connect with something a little more powerful than me, whether that meant a group or a god or whatever at that time. I just knew I could not, you know, totally survive on my own. And I think that at that time, it hit me that there's nobody who can't be everything from the absolute worst to the absolute best. And he or she has very little to say about, you know, whether that's true or not, or whether they'll stay looking good or stay looking bad or end up incarcerated or do whatever. So, you know, when you get in with these guys like you were last night, and I know you had some, so we say, trepidation at one point or other about, you know, going into...
Yeah, I don't know why. Because that was great last night.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to do it, and you have the experience with another institution, even though it's a female one, but at least you had that, and when you go in there, you realize that, again, just people are a little bigger, a little stronger in most cases. But you know what? People who come out to see us, they want to share. They want to grow. They want to heal. So, you know, folks, yes. Out there, it's anything but scary, for one thing. If there was somebody scary, that one wouldn't last very long with the other ones, because we're precious to these people, and our safety is monumental. So, you know, we've got a better chance of, you know, being hit by lightning three times and winning the lottery, you know, than we'll get hurt in there, you know. So
yeah, and they're good. Like, they don't have any problem with us, right?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they get comfortable with us in a hurry. But one of the things that I tried to get across to people was that you may, I think you find this too, Peter, is that after a while, you just know these people. Almost as soon as you get in a room, you know it's a kind of a calm atmosphere. You know, I mean, once we go through the preamble and stuff, we're all sort of relaxed. And I mean, those people, the men or the women, they seem to care and love us, you know, before we really care and love them. And, you know, that didn't hit me till this year after, in my case, you know, 16 years of this stuff. It hit me that, you know, we're not the heroes, you know, going in to help and to do all these things. But those people, like, the minute, to them, we're heroic in that, we don't have to be there. There's, you know, there's really no reason in a sense, other than feeling that we're either supposed to or you know, want to do some good or whatever. But there's really nothing that's driving us, nothing that's keeping us. And I always thought, well, you know, I know they appreciate it, but they love us just for that. And we don't know anything else about each other.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was so neat, like, last night I was telling them my story, you know, and I finished, and they said, thanks for sharing. Like, I'm a real person, right? I'm not going in judging them or anything. It's just, it's really great to have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the meetings outside, and I know you go to some, meetings outside the institutions, there's far more, you know, disruption, interruption, swearing and things that we don't seem to experience or hardly ever inside. And I think,
well,
you know,
it's great. And like, there's no crosstalk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like we sometimes get into in the regular meetings.
Yeah. By the way, folks, crosstalk and a few other things are key to the types of meetings we have that make it safe for people to, you know, to come in and to not only be comfortable over a period of time, but to share if they want to share, you know, to be quiet if they want to be quiet, and all those different aspects. But one of the most important things is what Peter just said. You know, he says, no crosstalk. And what that means is when Peter or my buddy Jay here or myself, if any of us is talking, no one buds in, you know, at all. And if they do, it's that they're making a mistake and, you know, and they're told more or less. But we just don't say anything because it gives the person the freedom to really express without the concern about, well, what are they going to think? Or because we don't say what we think, and we don't, you know, not about them. We may say what we think about the topic on the table, but we do not take up where they left off and try and fix that situation. And that's huge in this world, because people will disguise it in any way, shape, or form, but somebody hears something over there that I think I have the fix to, you know, and I work that fix into my sharing somehow, then it loses its power, because then I'm not there believing in a spiritual answer, number one, and I'm acting like I'm fixing them instead of being there for me. And I always have to be in a 12-step meeting for me, or it's not working. And I know today that being there for me is the only thing that's going to benefit anyone else. If I'm there for you, I'm codependent. I'm trying to control you, and whoever I'm trying to fix over here, I'm trying to control their life. I can't control my own time of getting up, let alone somebody else's life, you know. So it's just and that's the hardest lesson to try and teach people, that codependency or the control of things outside of us, and usually people, is just a total ruination as opposed to a good thing. So all these years, everybody thinks they're doing the right thing as soon as they mouth off to fix somebody, and not realizing that a solution to anything for him or her does not necessarily become a solution for the person they're trying to fix. And it's often not. So if we were to do that in program, for instance, there'd be resentments all over the table. Everybody'd come back and say, I did that and I'm not fixed. And, you know, when people say, well, you know what you got to do? You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. And the guy goes home and he does this and he does this and he does that and he comes back and says, it didn't work. You know, your program doesn't work, or that guy's an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, that's the attitude. So if you share openly and know that every time you come to this room, you can share without worry, because you're not going to be judged, for one thing, because all of us have all sorts of stuff, and we're not asked to lay our baggage on the line. Some do, because at some point the expression of a hurt or a pain is part of the freedom prescription, if you want, so has to be done. But you know, I don't know, any comments on that? What do you think, Jay? You agree with that?
I agree. Definitely agree, for sure.
Yeah. What about you, my man?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Just looking at today's step, personal inventory, and talking about churches and whatnot, and
how's the church doing, in your opinion, on some of these issues?
Well, I was just going to say, my experience in the church. Some of the people have been concerned with my appearance and whatnot, and they're so far away from what we're supposed to be as Christians. So it's so good going into the jails when there's no expectations. You're not expecting them to be anything. You're just meeting them where they are. You're not judging anyone, and I'm sure they appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, Well, it's like if you're in the hospital or something, someone comes to see you, you appreciate it. Well, for instance, I was in the hospital earlier this year, and all these people showed up.
It's too bad you didn't know they were there.
No, I didn't. I didn't know they were there, but my wife took pictures, so I would know.
So you have the photographic evidence.
Yeah. Okay. But it was so cool. So I'm just imagining people in the jail just appreciate that we come.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so rewarding. It's hard to explain, but I'm just really happy now that I'm in the men's jail and looking forward to continuing that.
You know, and everybody goes home lifted, you know?
Yeah.
I've said it in lots of sharings, but everybody, the inmate goes home, and his home is the cell down the hall there, and we drive home, and everybody is lifted, and think, you know, what can attest to anything better than that? You know, like going home feeling loved and feeling that you're able to love your fellow human being and his... present condition in life has absolutely nothing to do, and you know too, does it impact you the way it does me? I think, you know, because of maybe the Christian backgrounds, but where, you know, the inmate loved us first, you know, and I never hit me till this year, and I thought, you know, that is amazing. I mean, we go in there and, you know, we're gonna do this and that, and they love us, and then we take what they give us, give it back to them and take it out to other inmates, take it outside to the meetings outside the institutional backgrounds, and that's what works. I mean, it's almost as though we lucked into something by doing this kind of thing, and we get to take the real deal outside and share it, you know. And I thought, wow, man, isn't it, you know,
I know,
so powerful.
It's hard to explain, but it is so rewarding. Yeah, so anyone who's ever thought of volunteering in the jails, contact Scott at Sharing the Burden, and we can use you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very rewarding.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good piece to put in there. I think, folks, it looks about time to take a little bit of a break, and as my friend Jay would say here, and pay some bills. And,
pay the bills.
You know, and all that sort of thing, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half, so... Take care, and we'll be right back.